In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. This is the conclusion of a sermon by the Curia of Ars. It's from the book, The Sermon of the Curia of Ars. And the topic of the sermon was the dreadful state of the lukewarm soul. For the last 20 years, this soul has been filled with good intentions, without doing anything at all to correct its habits. It is like someone who is envious of anyone who was on the top of the world, but would not deign to lift a foot to try to get there himself. It would not, however, wish to renounce eternal blessings for those of the world. Yet it does not wish either to leave the world or to go to heaven. And if it can just manage to pass its time without crosses or difficulties, it would never ask to leave this world at all. If you hear someone with such a soul say that life is long and pretty miserable, that is only when everything is not going in accordance with his desires. If God, in order to force such a soul to detach itself from temporal things, sends it any cross or suffering, it is fretful and grieving and abandons itself to grumbles and complaints, and often even to a kind of despair. It seems as if it does not want to see that God has sent it these trials for its good, to detach it from this world and to draw it towards himself. What has it done to deserve these trials? Is this state a person thinks in his own mind that there are many others more blameworthy than himself who have not to submit to such trials? In prosperous times, the lukewarm soul does not go so far as to forget God, but neither does it forget itself. It knows very well how to boast about all the means it has employed to achieve its prosperity. It is quite convinced that many others would not have achieved the same success. It loves to repeat that and to hear it repeated, and every time it hears it, it is with fresh pleasure. The individual with the lukewarm soul assumes a gracious air when associating with those who flatter him, but towards those who have not paid him the respect which he believes he has deserved, or who have not been grateful for his kindnesses, he maintains an air of frigid indifference, and seems to indicate to them that they are ungrateful creatures who do not deserve to receive the good which he has done them. If I wanted to paint you an exact picture, my brethren, of the state of a soul which lives in tepidity, I should tell you that it is like a tortoise or a snail. It moves only by dragging itself along the ground, and one can see it getting from place to place with great difficulty. The love of God, which it feels deep down in itself, it is like a tiny spark of fire hidden under a heap of ashes. The lukewarm soul comes to the point of being completely indifferent to its own loss. It is nothing left but a love without tenderness, without action, and without energy which sustains it with difficulty in all that is essential for salvation. But for all other means of grace, it looks upon them as nothing or almost nothing. Alas, my brethren, this poor soul in its stupidity is like someone between two bouts of sleep. It would like to act, but its will has become so softened that it lacks either the force or the courage to accomplish its wishes. It is true that a Christian who lives in tepidity still regularly, in appearance at least, fulfills his duties. He will indeed get down on his knees every morning to say his prayers. He will go to the sacraments every year at Easter, and even several times during the course of the 12 months. But in all this, there will be such a distaste, so much slackness, and so much indifference, so little preparation, so little change in his way of life, that it is easy to see that he is only fulfilling his duties from habit and routine. Because this is a feast, and he is in the habit of carrying them out at such a time. His confessions and his communions are not sacrilegious, if you like, but they are confessions and communions which bear no fruit, which far from making him more perfect and more pleasing to God, only make him more unworthy. As for his prayers, God alone knows what, without, of course, any preparation he makes of these. In the morning, it is not God who occupies his thoughts, nor the salvation of his poor soul. He is quite taken up with thoughts of work. His mind is so wrapped up in the things of earth that the thought of God has no place in it. He is thinking about what he is going to be doing during the day, where he will be sending his children and his various employees, and what he will expedite his own work. But he does not know what he wants to ask God, nor what he needs, nor even before whom he is kneeling. His careless demeanor shows this very clearly. It is a poor man indeed who, however miserable he is, wants nothing at all and loves his poverty. It is surely a desperate sick person who scorns doctors and remedies and clings to his infirmities. You can see that this lukewarm soul has no difficulty, on the slightest pretext, in talking during the course of his prayers. For no reason at all, he will abandon them, partly at least, thinking that he will finish them in another moment. Does he want to offer his day to God, to say his grace? He does all that, but often without thinking of the one who is addressed. He will not even stop working. If the possessor of the lukewarm soul is a man, he will turn his cap or his hat around in his hands, as if to see whether it is good or bad, as though he had some idea of selling it. If it is a woman, she will say her prayers while slicing bread into her soup, or putting wood on the fire, or calling out to her children or maid. If you like, such distractions during prayer are not exactly deliberate. People would rather not have them, but because it is necessary to go to such much trouble and expend so much energy to get rid of them, they let them alone and allow them to come as they will. The lukewarm Christian may not perhaps work on Sunday a task which seems to be forbidden to anyone who has even the slightest shred of religion, but doing some sewing, arranging something in the house, driving sheep to the fields during times for masses, on the pretext that there is not enough food to give them. All these things will be done without the slightest scruple, and such people will prefer to allow their souls and the souls of their employees to perish rather than endanger their animals. A man will busy himself getting out his tools and his carts and harrows and so on for the next day. He will fill in a hole or fence a gap. He will cut various lengths of cords and ropes. He will carry out the churns and set them in order. What do you think about all this, my brethren? Is it not, alas, the simple truth? A lukewarm soul will go to confession regularly and even quite frequently. But what kind of confessions are they? No preparation, no desire to correct faults, or at the least, a desire so feeble and so small that the slightest difficulty will put a stop to it altogether. The confessions of such a person are merely repetitions of old ones, which would be a happy state of affairs, indeed, if there were nothing to add to them. 20 years ago, he was accusing himself of the same things he confesses today. And if he goes to confession for the next 20 years, he will say the same things. A lukewarm soul will not, if you like, commit the big sins. But some slander or backbiting, a lie, a feeling of hatred or of dislike, of jealousy, a slight touch of deceit or double dealing, these count for nothing with it. If it is a woman and you do not pay her all the respect which she considers her due, she will, under the guise of pretending that God has been offended, make sure that you realize it. She could say more than that, of course, since it is she herself who has been offended. It is true that such a woman would not stop going to the sacraments, but her dispositions are worthy of compassion. Or the day when she wants to receive her God, she spends part of the morning thinking of temporal matters. If it is a man, he will be thinking about his deals and his sales. If it is a married woman, she will be thinking about her household and her children. If it is a young girl, her thoughts will be on her clothes. If it is a boy, he will be dreaming about passing pleasures and so on. The lukewarm soul shuts God up in an obscure and ugly kind of prison. Its possessor does not crucify him, but God can find little joy or consolation in his heart. All his dispositions proclaim that his pure soul is struggling for the breath of life. After having received Holy Communion, this person will hardly give another thought to God in all the days to follow. His manner of life tells us that he did not know the greatness of the happiness which had been his. A lukewarm Christian thinks very little upon the state of his poor soul, and almost never lets his mind run over the past. If the thought of making any effort to be better crosses his mind at all, he believes that once he has confessed his sins, he ought to be perfectly happy and at peace. He assists at Holy Mass very much as he would at any ordinary activity. He does not think at all seriously of what he is doing, and finds no trouble in chatting about all sorts of things while on the way there. Possibly he will not give a single thought to the fact that he is about to participate in the greatest of all the gifts that God, all-powerful as he is, could give us. He does give some thoughts to the needs of his own soul. Yes, but a very small and feeble amount of thought indeed. Frequently, he will even present himself before the presence of God without having any idea of what he is going to ask of him. He has few scruples in cutting out, on the least pretext, the asparagus and the prayers before Mass. During the course of the service, he does not want to go to sleep, of course, and he is even afraid that someone might see him. But he does not do himself any violence all the same. He does not want, of course, to have distractions during prayer or during the Holy Mass. Yet when he should put some little fight against them, he suffers them very patiently and considers the fact that he does not like them. Fast days are reduced to practically nothing, either by advancing the time of the main meal or under the pretext that heaven was never taken by famine, or by making the collation so abundant that it amounts to a full meal. When he performs good or beneficial actions, his intentions are often very mixed. Sometimes it is to please someone. Sometimes it is out of compassion. And sometimes it is just to please the world. With such people, everything that is not a really serious sin is good enough. They like doing good, being faithful, but they wish that it did not cost them anything, or at least that it cost very little. They would like to visit the sick, indeed, but it would be more convenient if the sick would come to them. They have something to give away in alms. They know quite well that a certain person has need of help, but they wait until she comes to ask them instead of anticipating her, which would make the kindness so very much more meritorious. We will even say, my brethren, that the person who leads a lukewarm life does not fail to do plenty of good works, to frequent the sacraments, to assist regularly at all church services. But in all of this, one sees only a weak, languishing faith, hope which the slightest trial will upset, a love of God and of neighbor which is without warmth or pleasure. Everything that such a person does is not entirely lost, but it is very nearly so. See before God, my brethren, on what side you are, on the side of the sinners who have abandoned everything and plunged themselves into sin without remorse, on the side of the just souls who seek but God alone? Or are you of the number of these slack, tepid, and indifferent souls, such as we have just been depicting for you? Down which road are you traveling? Who can dare assure himself that he is neither a great sinner nor a tepid soul, but that he is one of the elect? Alas, my brethren, how many seem to be good Christians in the eyes of the world who are really tepid souls in the eyes of God, who knows our inmost hearts? Let us ask God with all our hearts, if we are in this state, to give us the grace to get out of it, so that we may take the route that all the saints have taken and arrive at the happiness that they are enjoying. This is what I desire for you. Amen.